The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with 1.9 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Follow me on social media at The Officer Tatum. You can go to my website, theofficertatum.com. YouTube is blowing up, so if you're on the YouTubes, go ahead and follow your boy at The Officer Tatum. There's so much news and so many topics today. I hope we get to a few of them. Steve Bannon could be going to jail because of something that he did a long time ago. The Democrats are targeting conservatives as we speak. Donald Trump is rightfully upset at what the left has done with the Mar-a-Lago raid. And I want to start with the murder of, I think her name is Aliza. Is it Aliza Fletcher? They call her Liza, who was the teacher in Memphis, jogging, minding her own business, and was murdered by a thug that spent his life doing thuggery. And I'm not going to mention his name because it's irrelevant. But this man was arrested as a juvenile, 16 years old, for kidnapping a lawyer. Now, I don't have all the details surrounding whether it was intentional or what, did he know the lawyer or whatever the case may be, but however, he ended up kidnapping a lawyer, had him in the trunk of a car, riding him around the city, periodically stopping and making him withdraw money from his bank account, and continued to joyride the lawyer's vehicle with the lawyer in the trunk. He had an accomplice. It appears that the accomplice was trying to get him to stop, but he was a criminal hell-bent on committing crimes of that nature, felonious nature, kidnapping people, potentially murdering people at the age of 16. If it had not a Eliza, okay. I don't wonder where her nickname is, Liza. So her name is Eliza Fletcher. That's the young lady's name that got killed. Thanks for correcting that. And he did 20 years in prison. He was sentenced originally to 26 years in prison. But the way our justice system is stacked up today, if you're a good boy and you don't commit too many crimes in jail, they'll let you out early. So long story short, he gets out in 20 years. And I don't know how this is possible. He had a Facebook account where he was posting on Facebook while he was in prison or in the penitentiary. He gets out and somehow, and some believe it was premeditated, he parks in a particular location, he stalks the woman, then he chases her down, forces her into a SUV, and proceeds to murder her. Now, right now, we don't know what the intent was. We don't know if the intent was to actually murder her, or the intent was to rape and murder her, or to just rape her, to grope her. I mean, I don't know what this guy's thinking. He just got out of prison in 2020 for kidnapping that lawyer. And we didn't even talk about before 2020. The kid had a rap sheet as long as the Nile River. 2000 is, I believe he got, that's when he got in trouble. It's in 2000 when he was 16. But before that, 95, 96, 97, 98, convictions. Or being arrested for kidnapping, armed robbery, theft, rape, aggravated assault with a weapon. You're talking a kid from 12 years old committing crimes. 16 goes to prison for 20 years. Somehow they let this fool out and he ended up killing this lady that appears to be innocent. However, there's a catch. There's a potential catch. Now, I don't know if there's a catch, but there's a potential catch. She is in, I guess they call it a male is an heir. She's an heiress to a billionaire. Now, the lawyer that the suspect that we're referring to now kidnapped, that sent him to jail for 26 years, he only did 20, that lawyer works for a law firm that the now deceased Eliza Fletcher, that her aunt works for, or one of her family members work for. So the man he kidnapped before and a family member of Eliza, which is the lady who was murdered, worked at the same law firm. And that cousin, whatever family member that is related to her, and Eliza Fletcher, the young lady that was killed, are both related to a billionaire. Now, there's skepticism as to whether she was attacked directly or was it an act of random violence. According to a former FBI agent that alluded to some of these facts that I mentioned, said that they don't think that this was random. What are the odds that this hardened criminal gets out of prison and just happens to run into this lady jogging down her jogging path at like 4 o'clock in the morning? I think it's highly unlikely that this was an accident. I think it was targeted for her to be connected to or an heiress of a billionaire who's well known in the area. And she ends up dead. Seems very, very suspicious. And one of her family members worked at the law firm where he kidnapped the other lawyer. Seems very, very suspicious to me. Two things I want to make a point on here moving forward. The first thing is that this is a very sad situation. This lady left behind a husband and two children. I pray to God that her husband didn't set this up so he can get the rest of her money, because she seems to have a line of straight to the billionaire. So I'm hoping that that didn't happen. It's very sad because you seem that you want to get in shape and do the right thing and work out early in the morning. She was teaching at a private school. They have nothing but great things to say about her at the Christian private school. And now she's dead. Taken advantage of by a hardened criminal that had nothing to live for. The other idea that I want to bring up and point that I want to make is the justice system. It's always this concept of black man is in the justice system. Well, man, this man should have been put to death. He shouldn't have never seen the light of day. Why should you say that, Mr. Tatum? When you are committing crimes from 12 all the way through to your 16, and between 12 and 16, you were arrested for rape. Women that lived at the apartment complex with the guy say that he was a nasty, creepy dude soliciting women for sex all the time, and young girls. How did you get out of prison? And then he gets out, and what does he do, ladies and gentlemen? What does he do? He reoffends. People like that should be locked away forever. The criminal justice system, I don't think, is balanced, in my opinion. They can find ways to put people in jail for January 6th, but you got people murdering people all the time getting out of jail. Or they should be locked behind bars for a very long time. Oh, they feel sympathy for them. Oh, you've done your time. Oh, the criminal justice system is against black and brown bodies, and they let these people out, and they kill it. They're out here killing and stealing and thugging. Now, I know that it's almost impossible to know, in some cases, to know whether a person is going to recidivate or not. I know that it's not always clear. But when you're committing crimes from 12 years old, and while he was in the penitentiary, he's writing on his Facebook complaining about his jail conditions. The fact he even had a Facebook, making posts that sounds revengeful on his Facebook while he's in the penitentiary. And somehow that just makes sense that he should get out because he did 85% of his sentence. I'm never going to understand how our society works when it comes to letting these criminals out. Now, let me tell you this. This is not going to make mainstream media longer than 30 minutes. Nobody's going to continue to talk about it. There's not going to be a hearing on Capitol Hill about women getting raped and abducted. Why? Because the man is black that did this. Now, some people may argue back in the day they used to treat black people wrong, but I tell you what, right now, if you black, you ain't going to make the news if you kill a white person. You're going to barely make the news. If this was a white person abducting a black girl, raping and mutilating her, or whatever, however he did the situation against this young lady, it'd be on Black Lives Matter, be out with their fraudulent self. Benjamin Crump would be there. Joe Biden would be doing a press conference. Jean Pierre with her dyslexic self will be talking about Nordstrom's Rack. And y'all going to understand that reference here in a minute. She'd be on there talking about Nordstrom's Rack or something. Pushing falsehoods and agendas. I want to keep talking about this. I'm running out of time. But ladies and gentlemen, the double standards are in full effect. And I'm going to say this, and some people are going to get their feelings hurt. White people have more of a reason to be afraid of black people than black people against white people in today's society. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Unafraid to tell it like it is.
You have heard and seen most of the truth behind the events of January 6th. And now you can visit Washington, D.C. on September the 24th and join J6 Solidarity and their peaceful and patriotic event that will expose the entire truth of January 6th at our nation's capital and not just what the mainstream media has lied about. Join J6 Solidarity and their well-known guest speakers to discuss the wrongful arrest and incarceration of all the Jan 6 patriots. Hear what speakers like Salem Media's Dinesh D'Souza, Newsmax's Johnny Tobacco, Joe Altman, the host of the Conservative Daily Podcast, and Professor David Clements, and many more have to say. This peaceful event will take place on September the 24th in Washington, D.C., next to the Federal District Court. For all the details, go to our new website, the letter J, the number 6, solid.com. That's j6solid.com. Don't have your head in the sand. Learn the truth. Go to j6solid.com now. Thank you for your time, your patriotic loyalty, and as always, God bless America.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Back to the murder mystery of Eliza, I think it's Eliza Fletcher, young lady that was jogging, apparently minding her own business when thuggery came out of the woodworks and decided to kill her. I really do wonder, is this going to be a murder mystery where the husband found this thug because he kind of knew? Let me just tell you this. The husband, and this is totally hypothetical. The husband may have known about this guy because his first kidnapping was connected with the family that worked at the law firm with the guy he kidnapped initially. Maybe the husband went off on looked him up, knew he was getting out of prison, and said, look, this is the route. Make it happen. The only reason I'm saying this is because I have seen shows where I have seen people do worse. I'm throwing out possibilities. Could this be a possibility? It could be. Could this guy just so happen to be so nasty and dirty that he was just looking for women sitting there just stalking women and looking for an opportunity to catch one of them, and he found one? It very well could be an opportunity. Or that could be an opportunity he took advantage of. Either way it go, it's horrible. As soon as we get more information on that, I'll let you guys know. But that was pretty, disgusting to see him be able to get out of prison and end up murdering that woman the way he did, and that she struggled. And, obviously men and women aren't physically the same. So no matter how fit she was, he was able to overcome her and eventually kill her and try to clean up the scene. Let me move on to the next subject at hand. Jean Pierre, White House press secretary, was mocked for mixing up Nord Stream pipeline with Nordstrom. Some of y'all may not know what Nordstrom is. I'll let you know after we play the clip. I want to roll clip 1 so y'all can hear her actually mess this word up. Roll the clip.
So you've heard us say this, that what we see Russia's doing, and we've been very clear about this, is that they're using energy, they're weaponizing energy, and it's choosing to one of the things that has been out there, the shutdown the pipeline of Nord Stream 1. Oh.
She said Nord Stream 1. I don't know what kind of place is that. Tell me how I go shop at Nord Stream 1. I heard a Nord Stream rack, but I haven't heard a Nord Stream 1. Now, I know this is nitpicky, but she has been doing a terrible job as the press secretary. When Trump had Kayleigh McEnany in there, I mean, they were out there just ripping. Boom, boom, boom. This Jean Pierre, this woman is horrible. Let me give you another clip. I wonder, do we have the clip on here? This occurred yesterday when Peter Ducey just grilled her. Because she literally tweeted that Trump stole the election in 2016. She literally tweeted that. While at the same time on the podium claiming that it is wrong and unpatriotic for you to question the election in 2020. She's out of control. Sean, I don't know if you have that clip from yesterday. If you do, let me know. If there's no clip that exists, we'll send it. But the clip is just asinine to me. At the hypocrisy, when she knew she blamed Trump of stealing the election, and all these Democrats did. All of them did. They said it wasn't a legit election. They said it wasn't legit and that Trump stole it. And then in 2020, they out here crying in the middle of the street, acting like we're just so crazy for questioning an election that clearly had more issues. And I ain't going to say that woman's name. I was going to say more issues than Jennifer Lopez, but I don't think she got that many issues other than maybe she can't find a husband. But anyway, wrote a clip.
The new attention on the MAGA Republicans. You tweeted in 2016,
I knew this
Trump
was coming.
Stole an election.
I was waiting, Peter, when you were going to ask me that question.
Well, great. Here we go. You tweeted Trump stole an election. You tweeted Brian Kemp stole an election. If denying election results... Yeah. Is extreme now.
Yeah.
Let's
be really clear. That comparison that you made is just ridiculous.
I have been.
Well, you're asking me a question.
Yes.
Let me answer it.
And you said it was ridiculous.
I was talking specifically at that time of what was happening with voting rights and the what was in danger of voting rights. That's what I was speaking to at the time.
Okay, so that make it justified that you said the election was stolen. She has to be the trashiest one of all. It's actually on the sheet. I missed it. She had to be the trashiest one of all. I think we got another clip. And Sean, I'm going to make you work today. Not that you don't work every day, but I'm going to make you work extra today. There's a clip of all the Democrats that were in succession. We played it before. They all were saying that Trump stole the 2016 election. When we get that clip, let me know. But these people are... They're out of control. I want to jump to Hillary Clinton because she said a bunch of things, and we got at least two clips from Hillary Clinton being obnoxiously hypocritical. And let's roll with clip three of Hillary Clinton on The View.
Because apparently they've been moved around. It's not like they were in a vault. They were in a storage room where people go in and out getting umbrellas for the pool or, you know, something else. So I think that we have to wait, and we have to have, I think, two minds about this. No one is above the law.
Yeah,
and the rule of law in a democracy has to be our standard.
I quit. I think I'm going to quit the radio right today. I can't handle the hypocrisy. This woman says that no one's above the law. And I can't believe The View had Hillary Clinton on here talking about this. Are they trying to get her reindicted? She says no one is above the law. The woman is criticizing Trump about possession of classified information. You can't make this up. She had a server. She deleted documents. Bleach bit. She took hammers to BlackBerries. Director Comey said that she was guilty of sending and receiving classified information. We're not even talking about Benghazi. Lord help us. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
What difference at this point does it make?
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Uncle Tom 2 is an eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. Brandon Tatum here, and Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true history of Black America. The cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to its current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historic footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, the NAACP's sinister agenda, the fall of Black Harlem, the truth behind Black Lives Matter, and the demoralization of America for political power. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone, with yours truly, Vodi Bachum and Chad O. Jackson. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD now at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com, salemnow.com.
This is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. So many topics I want to talk about. There's so much to get into. The View host, Stoopy Goldberg, I don't know what's wrong with that woman. I mean, it's just embarrassing Black people every single day she show up on the show. They are saying, or lamenting to, or making a statement to represent that people are racist if they don't want to continue to watch, or they're not as enthusiastic about the Rings of Power. I'm assuming that the Rings of Power is a sub series of Lord of the Rings. And because they decide to throw a couple Black people in the cast that wasn't normally there, somehow, white people are supposed to be jumping for joy, whether they can act or whether the characters are misplaced or not. White people are supposed to be jumping for joy and saying, thank God racism is over. We got Black people in the series. People don't care. I don't understand why we're still on the path of trying to make things equal by force. Listen, man, if you perform well, people are going to watch you. Nobody cares about your color. The NFL. NBA, track and field. You want to go down the list? Black people are dominating sports. White people are literally, rap music? White people are literally selling their souls to watch Black men dunk basketballs. I mean, if LeBron James were to go into a mall, just say he went to a mall in a place where the population is the most white in our country, which I don't want to, you know, say because I don't want to be stereotyped. South Dakota or North Dakota or Montana, somewhere like that. I don't think Black people live up there. Too cold. So LeBron James go in there in the store. I'm joking, by the way. LeBron James go into a store. I mean, people would be fainting, wanting his autograph, wanting pictures from him. White people. But somehow The View believes that you're racist if you don't like or particularly like what they've done to some of these films. We've seen Little Mermaid. Come on, y'all. You really got to make the... Why can't Black people make their own cartoon? You got to swap out Little Mermaid now. You got to put him in the Lord of the Rings. Why? That's the thing that I don't understand. Why can't Black people have their own cartoon? Just make your own cartoon with your own people in it. You know what's funny is that there are cartoons that Black people run that probably would be more popular if other Black people supported it more. I thought the little cartoon Boondocks was funny. I think it's hilarious. It's racist and it's hilarious. Boondocks got all kind of racist stereotypes in it. Against Black people, against white people, against Mexican people. It's like South Park, but Black people. Boondocks is funny. But are Black people supporting Boondocks the way they should? And is that why it's not as big as some of these other cartoons. But I'm just putting that aside to show you how just brain dead people on The View are, that everything has to be about racism. This is something I would never understand. Everything is not about racism. Maybe you're not performing well. Maybe people don't like the way you act. Maybe you just are so different than the character that they're used to seeing that it turns them off. I was talking to a guy that I know that's a tremendously successful businessman, and he was saying one of the major things that kill businesses, and I think he gave me a stat, over 90% of the businesses literally completely crumble when you have to rename your company, when you have to rebrand a company. And rebranding psychologically to people are too much of a distraction. Just imagine if Coca-Cola rebranded to being Smart Soda. I mean, just the history of Coca-Cola, the look, the feel. When people see the word Coca-Cola, they can taste it. And you go and rebrand it, you're going to turn people off. They're not, even if it's the same stuff in it, it's going to throw people off. They're not going to be as interested. Same thing happens with movies and cartoons. And you start adding in characters that people are not used to seeing, that maybe even the structure of the show is not similar. They don't sound the same. They don't look the same. Then you start to turn people off, and they're not as interested. It's not because you're black. It's not because it's a minority or a person of color. It's because people are not interested in the way y'all social making it about social justice and not actually entertaining or focusing on entertainment value. I got to go to the break here in a second, but AOC, it says AOC, it says dishes on marrying a white man. Feels hated in her fear she'll be killed this month. If you can, I wish that I had like a chat box. I want y'all to describe AOC in one word. I wish I could see the words that y'all choose. I got some words, but I have to pray to the Lord first before I say those words.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Keeping it real.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now Mike Lindell, investor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet sets is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they are all on sale. For example, the queen sizes are regularly priced at $89.98, but now they're only $39.98 with our listeners' promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they gone. The Percale sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. These come with a 10-year warranty and also a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There are a limited supply, so make sure that you order now. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Brandon. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Brandon at MyPillow.com for your exclusive offer on the Percale sheets.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Keeping it real.
AOC, you little crazy, little nasty little woman. Why is AOC crying about being married to a white man? According to a Daily Wire article, it states that Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, which I guarantee she used Ocasio-Cortez. You know, that girl ain't got probably don't speak a lick of Spanish. Want to be ethnic. You ain't ethnic, Alexandria. Alexandria is terrified that Trump supporters will kill her when, y'all, this month. She's worried about being married to a white man and feel mistreated by her fellow Democrats, according to a new profile on the GQ magazine. Can somebody explain this to me? You worried about being married to a white man. This is the problem that I have with these people. Y'all say white devil, white devil, white devil, white devil, but you married a white person. But they don't never really put them out in public. She want to be ethnic. She want to care about black and brown bodies, but you engaged to a white man. Same thing with Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is the first black, whatever they say she is, and she's half retarded. I don't even know why people still claiming her in good faith. Anyway, who's she married to? A white man. But she's blackity black, 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 black. She's married to a white man. Let's keep going down the list. Remember the first black Supreme Court, female Supreme Court justice? She married to, can you guys guess, a white man. I remember Van Jones on TV talking all that trash. Van Jones' last woman was a white woman. Oh, you want to go to Dunlemon? We can go to men marrying men. I don't even call it marriage. They're in a relationship with another man. Dunlemon got on television and said the biggest threat to society is white men. And he up there cuddling with a white man every night.
Damn.
Somebody make this make sense. It's the projection, ladies and gentlemen. The very same people that talk about white supremacy and all this, they are entangled in relationships with white people intimately. Whether they married, whether they're in serious relationships. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. But stop lying to the world and acting like you trying to protect the black race and the black and brown bodies when your lineage is going straight to the white man that you claim to hate. But they don't put them out there in the forefront. They just keep them on the back burner. They enjoy their lives living just like anybody else. They love who they love just like anybody else. They ain't thought twice about a white person being a problem, just like most people in America. But then to you, they project this fear of intolerance from the white man, gentrification of the white man. And then secretly behind closed doors, they shacking and doing all kind of stuff with the white man. She probably learned Spanish on, remember that thing? What was it called? It was a little program that you could take. I remember hearing all the commercials of the program. Bueno, Rosetta Stone.
Un poco nerviosa, pero yo creo que es muy importante que si somos primera generación, segunda generación, tenemos que desarrollar nuestra lengua, nuestra...
You know somebody, let me just explain this to y'all. She probably learned it on Rosetta Stone right before the election. But you know how somebody, like, they got to fake the accent? They got to fake the culture? Because I notice when people speak Spanish, they have a lot of pauses in there, right? They pause a lot. I feel like her pauses are fabricated because she was listening to people do it, and she's trying to mimic the authenticity of knowing Spanish well. She can't do it. She sounds like Cory Booker. They on a debate stage for the President of the United States of America speaking Spanish. You know how stupid that is? Listen, let me tell you this. This is how out of touch politicians are. Why would you be speaking Spanish on national television at a presidential debate? The people that don't know English, they ain't watching English channels. They're watching Telemundo. And last time I checked, they translating on Telemundo what you're saying. And the people that know English and Spanish, they watch in English because they understand English. But the virtue signal is stronger than the 5G network. They just signaling and signaling and signaling. Why is AOC saying, I think I'm going to get murdered this month? Why is she saying this month? Because you know what's happening in the next few months? It's the midterm elections. So she want to bring up in her psyche that Trump supporters are so deranged that they would have killed you two terms ago if they really had it in them to kill you for whatever reason. AOC, nobody wants to kill you, especially not a Republican. You are doing us a favor. You make the whole party look retarded. You make the whole party look ridiculous. You make the whole party look like socialists, communists. We thank you. Matter of fact, I would vote for you to keep winning because you are doing us all a favor by embarrassing yourself. I'm done with AOC. I only got 1 minute left. I'm done with AOC. I can't talk about her any longer. I want to bring up the subject of this fentanyl, but I only got 1 minute left. And Nevada police found 56 pounds of fentanyl hidden in a car during the traffic stop. If you don't think fentanyl is a epidemic more so than coronavirus, you're missing the boat. Fentanyl is killing people every single day. If it wasn't for police confiscating these pills, there would be more people dead. And fentanyl don't have a vaccine. Hold the phone, I'll be back after the break.
darnos la entrevista y en español.
Sí, sí, gracias y gracias por tenerme.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. The left ain't seen nothing yet. Is the Officer Tatum Show. Unafraid to tell it like it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Playing this song in memory of Tupac Shakur's music career. I don't advocate stuff that he did in his personal life, but Tupac Shakur was an incredible artist. Put words together. I mean, I used to listen to his music all the time. Some music made me cry. Some of it made me laugh. Some of it made me want to commit crimes. I'm just going to be honest. But anyway, shout out to Tupac Shakur. May he rest in peace. Hopefully he repented and went to heaven. Anyway, I got a bunch of people calling in, so I'm going to address the calls first. I want to go with, let me stick on topic first, then I'm going to jump to Roy. But let me go with David out of Jackson, Mississippi. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Tatum? Just first of all, I want to say shout out to you as a black man who's actually served on the force protecting the community. And I do want to make one correction. Tupac's music career ain't dead. He just dead. You feel me? Because his music's still alive and popping. But I just want to say that as somebody who's lived in Minnesota, which is, you know, seemingly one of the most peaceful places in the United States, to living in Jackson, Mississippi, I've seen it all from racism to friendship. I really do think perspective plays a huge part in all of it. For example, if I'm driving in a neighborhood and I see somebody who's a different color than me walking their dog, I almost wave every single time. Sometimes they wave, sometimes they don't wave. Now, I can assume they don't wave at me because I'm black, or I could assume that they didn't see me. They might have sunglasses on. They might be looking at the ground. They might be playing music. Or I could even assume that they don't know me and they don't want to engage. I do feel like a lot of times perspective plays a key role in why the anger is and I think the issue is we're all quick to anger instead of quick to question. I think we shoot first and question later. I think we need to start communicating more in general, because I feel like it just takes a simple conversation. Because I've had good interactions with black people. I've had good interactions with white people. I've had white people that, like, are completely racist. I go to a house, and it's like, ain't nobody talking. They just look at me. I look at them, and it's like, all right, well, I guess I don't belong here. And, you know, the people are like, well, you ain't an N-word. You know what I'm saying? You just a black person. And there's a difference in their eyes. And I feel like the assumption that N-word is somebody who stagnates pants and has no, like, you have to realize there's white trash as well. So, like, there's levels to this, you know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, until you reach a common ground with the people around you, you'll never really know where they truly stand until you have a conversation about it. So there's people out there that convert members in the KKK to just give up their jackets and hoods. And I know you've probably seen the videos, but I don't know. I just wanted to put out there that communication is the key. And you know, you got to change your perspective before you can see someone else's.
David, thank you so much for the call, man. That's an incredible call. I agree with everything you say. I had that happen to me the other day. I'm riding my truck, and my truck got like a 10-inch lift on it. So I'm riding the truck. I see this white guy with his dog, and I live ain't nothing but white people around here. I ain't seen a black person except when I look in the mirror, which ain't nothing wrong with it because it's pretty safe. And unfortunately, somebody's going around breaking into cars, and he happened to be black. But anyway, you know, I'm waving. I wave at everybody because I'm friendly. Because I ain't thought not one time about nobody color. I'm just driving down the street, enjoying myself, living. I love the neighborhood we live in. I waved at a guy with a dog. I swear he was looking at me, and he didn't do nothing. He looked like he saw a ghost. Now, in my mind, I don't care if he didn't wave at me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you not waving at me, I'm not gonna lose an ounce of sleep. Now, there's a few things, right? I don't know if the guy is half blind. I don't know if he didn't see me. I don't know if he was afraid to wave at me because, you know, he's an awkward person, or he was racist. You know, either way it go, I really don't know. So I don't care. Because the thing is that one guy that didn't wave back at me, I never seen him again, really. And then all the other people that I wave at every single day that happen to be white, it kind of cancels it out. Even if one person is a racist, 99% of people are not racist. And so I get what David was saying, is that it's all perspective. And my whole thing is this: do you want your life to be better, or do you want to be a victim? Because if you can look at it and you can choose to look at it either way, why not look at it as if, man, it doesn't matter, and I don't know if that person is racist. I'm not going to assume. I honestly believe, like, people's lives will change overnight if they use the words, I'm not going to assume. I'm not going to assume. Unless the person come out and call me an N-word and say, I don't want to talk to you because you're black. If the person say that, then you already know what it is. If that person don't say that to you and you don't have unequivocal evidence, you don't know what's going on with them. That's the times when people say stuff to me and I'm in a bad mood. It ain't got nothing to do with the color of their skin. It got nothing to do with being a woman, a Democrat, or nothing. It's, I was having a bad day. And I didn't want to talk. I was short. Same thing could be happening to a white person. I wave at them. They having a bad day. It ain't got nothing to do with me being black. So I love what David had to say, his perspective and us having more conversations. Because some people may not like you because they just don't like you. They don't like the way you talk. They're jealous of you. They're envious. They're not even thinking about your color. They're just thinking about the fact that you're a good-looking person, and they ugly, and they mad because you remind them of the last guy that stole their woman. You never know why people be upset with you. But it's good to not make assumptions, and I agree. Let me get some more people in here. I think Chuck from Columbia, South Carolina. Welcome to the Offsetter Show.
God bless you, Brandon. It's hard to sit on hold and listen because I was calling about your conversation with Tony. Bless you, David. Bless you guys for that dialogue. When I was listening to the hatred in Tony's voice, if you were to look at the homicides in the United States, I think it's far more tragic that the majority of those happen because there's a complete disregard for human life. There's very few of them are racially motivated. And to your point about conversations, it doesn't matter where you are politically. It doesn't matter what your race is. If we can't agree that human life matters, if we can't agree that a woman, I don't know if she is a mom jogging, gets beat to death as a tragedy, we're just in a bad place. I mean, we know we're in a bad place. You and I know where we're going when we die, but we got to get past that, this whole idea that human life doesn't matter. And there's a lot of people out there that are okay with homicides because they're not talking about it. So we can't disregard human life and make race a bigger issue. Just can't do it.
I agree, Chuck. Thanks so much for the call. I got about 30 seconds left. Thanks for the call in. Man, I love to hear dialogue, and I don't mind if a person disagrees with me, but we have to be sensible about the things that we say. You know, I don't think racism is the biggest and most important thing in our community. I think it's godlessness. When people don't have God in their consciousness, they hate everybody. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. And I never get to lay back because I always got to worry about the payback. Some buck that I roughed up way back. Coming back after all these years. Rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat. That's the way it is. That's just the way it is. When I was young, my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the streets. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Common sense in an uncommon way. Act like you know.
Over the years, little key.
Oh, y'all gonna make me rap.
From a jail cell.
All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Hey, I see the penitentiary one day, running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. All right, back to the subject at hand. I got a couple people calling in. I want to give them a chance to talk. I think we got one more on the subject, and we're going to go to Roy from San Antonio, Texas next. Derek from Mississippi, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey, I was Tatum. I just wanted to say real quick, with people with the race thing and wondering why somebody didn't speak or looking for racism, saying it's the biggest problem in America, look, here in the South, we got to worry about poisonous snakes. But they're a threat. They can kill you. But somehow we avoid them. Somehow they're not even a factor. So if you go out there looking to be bit or looking for a poisonous snake, eventually you're going to find it. If you go out there looking for racism or looking for somebody to hate you, I understand one thing. You know, people got a right to be whatever they want to be behind their picket fence. And I just think it's like Morgan Freeman said, the best way to cure racism is stop talking about it.
Right. I agree, Derek. Thank you. Go ahead.
I just want to say I'm a fellow brother-in-arms, 20-plus-year law enforcement veteran, and I love your show and keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you, Derek, man. Thank you for your service. I really appreciate the commentary. I really do think racism would dissipate if we wouldn't talk about it. The only unfortunate part is that they keep talking about it, and we have to try to, you know, reimagine reality for our children. You know, because in my life, my son is biracial. His mother's white. I'm black, obviously. And I don't raise my son to believe in racial discrimination. All that old crazy stuff that people are talking about today. I teach my son to be an individual. You are an individual. If you do what's right, you will be successful. My son watches his father be successful because I have integrity and I work hard. And he see all these white people that love me, and he see all the black people that love me. And my son learns that if you are a quality person, you will be respected by people no matter what color you are or what color they are. It's just the end of the day. And some people out here are crazy, and they hate you because you're taller than them, because you're more handsome, because the girl they like actually like you. They don't like the color of your skin. They don't like because they blacker than you and you light skin, or you light skin and they, you know, you ain't worthy because you ain't black enough because both of your parents ain't black. You know, people could go down a list about how they hate you. Nobody cares at the end of the day, because you need to be grinding and making it happen. And eventually these people will be working for you. That's one thing that my dad said to me when he started the fire department way back when he was, I think he was 17. Not 17. I think my dad maybe was 19. He was either 17 or 19. He was a year younger than 18 or a year older than 18. I can't remember. Retired after 35 years and he still want to work. He said when he first got on the fire department that people were racist and there was some racial tension there. And what was his approach? It wasn't to cry and play the victim. My dad said, they better be careful how they treat me, because one day they'll be working for me. And they were working for my dad. He became the chief at the top of the food chain. And then one thing my dad told me is that one of the people that really stuck by him and was one of his best friends coming up through the ranks was a white guy who had my dad back every step of the way. And so, you know, it is what you look for. If you're looking for drama, you're going to find drama. If you're looking for racism, you can find racism in everything that happened to you. Me and my wife was at a place. The service was so bad, I wanted to walk out and yell at somebody on the way out. But it could have been, oh, they didn't want to serve me because I'm black. I remember me and my wife was at a restaurant, and they gave another person their food before us. And we were there way longer than them. But the thing is that there's so many factors to the reason why that could have happened. And it's just because I'm black. It's very simple. Roy from San Antonio, Texas, welcome to the Office Tatum Show. Roy, welcome to the Office Tatum Show. Uh-oh, I think we lost him. Yeah, the phone lines are messed up a little bit. We'll get back to Roy in a minute. Roy had a question about the Democrats, who I don't know if he's saying that he need verification. I only got 20 seconds. I didn't know if he need verification or not, because his question was, can I show him more proof that the Democrats were saying that Trump stole the election in 2016? After the break, I'm going to play a highlight tape where you can play this for you. Tell your mom and them to jump on here so they can hear these Democrats completely make an unequivocal statement that Trump stole the election and it was rigged and he shouldn't have got elected. You'll listen to after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Keeping it real.
Drive on misery. Leave me alone. I grew up amongst a dying breed. Inside my mind, couldn't find a place to rest until I got the thug life tatted on my chest. Tell me, can you feel me? You want to last, be the first to blast. Remember Kato. Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I know y'all, some people probably don't like me rapping that, but I literally know every Tupac song, and I know them all. I listened to them all while I was growing up. And there's just something poetic about Tupac's music that just strikes me. And I just love it. And some of it I can't rap out loud, and I don't even rap anymore because there's too many cuss words in it. But I just really respect Tupac lyrically. You know, I just cannot live with advocating some of the other stuff he did. The little gangbanging stuff he was trying to do. I mean, he literally got killed because he beat up another gang member. Very, very sad situation. But let me get back to the subject at hand. We're talking about these Democrats. I'm not going to lie, y'all. I try to be impartial. I try to be, you know, fair and balanced. But it's very, very hard for me to support people that are just, they're just antithetical. I think I said that word right. Antithetical to everything Christians stand for. And I know I'm jumping on the Christian bandwagon right now, but if when I was a Democrat, right? Because I used to be a Democrat. At least I call myself a Democrat. When somebody pointed out the fact that I'm a Christian and Democrats don't focus or push anything that's beneficial to Christianity, they actually are anti-Christian. When I started realizing that, I had to make up in my mind as a Christian that I cannot support stuff like this. You know, I love everybody, but I do not support gay marriage. I do not. Why? Because the Bible is against it. I love everybody, but it's you out here fornicating and doing all this stuff. I can't support that. I have to speak against it. Why? Because the Bible speaks against it. It's nothing personal. Don't kill the messenger. And when you're talking about life, life starts at conception. It don't start at perception. When a conception happened, that is a child. Unobstructed, it will grow into everybody that's listening on this radio show. Somehow your mama and them didn't go to the abortion clinic. Now you alive. That's what happens when you don't obstruct a pregnancy. I cannot support any party that goes along the lines to say they believe in murdering children. How is that fair for you to support that and you're supposed to be a Christian? We can go down a list, man. We can go down a list of things that Democrats do. Being pro one race. They always talk about minorities and black and brown bodies, and they push that issue so on and so forth. They never talk about us being all children of God, and we should be treated the same, equal. They don't talk about that. How can anybody support these people and then claim to be a Christian? Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show, ladies and gentlemen. These Democrats are crazy. Like I said yesterday, I went to Newport Beach. Is it Newport Beach? Yeah. Newport Beach, California for the first time. I think I've been there before. I just never gone around anywhere. Maybe it was at night or something. I went to Newport Beach, and I was astonished how beautiful and clean, and I ain't seen no homeless people. It was California became appealing to me. And then I began to think, what a shame that beautiful state with so much diversity, and I mean, it's a beautiful state, for it to be going downhill because of these nut jobs that are in office on a Democrat ticket. I want y'all to hear this clip from the governor of California, Newsom, who, mind you, when everybody else was shut down, he off in his vacation property escaping the pandemic. He shut his state down, but him and his wife, they get to go and live a luxury life and do their thing. Then he got caught in Napa with no mask on in a place full of people without a mask on. When he forced the state to make you wear a mask. These people should go to prison. Let me let you listen to the clip about the electric issues or the grid issues when they're trying to force everybody to have electric cars. Roll the clip.
California and many other Western states are experiencing simply unprecedented temperatures. In fact, this heat wave is on track to be both the hottest and the longest on record for the state and many parts of the West for the month of September. Californians, you've stepped up to help in a big way to keep the lights on so far. But we're heading to the worst part of this heat wave, and the risk for outages is real and it's immediate. These triple-digit temperatures throughout much of our state are leading, not surprisingly, to record demand on the energy grid. Everyone has to do their part to help step up for just a few more days. Individuals, the state, industries, business, all doing their part to help reduce strain on the grid. Now, here's specifically what you can do. In the early morning hours, particularly tomorrow and the next day or so, pre-cool your home. Run your air conditioning earlier in the day when more power is available. And we encourage you to close your windows and blinds to keep your home cool as well. And today and tomorrow afternoon after 4 p.m., in particular 4 p.m., please turn your thermostat up to 78 degrees or higher and avoid, to the extent possible, using any really large appliances. You can visit flexalert.org to learn more about what you can do. Californians, you've rallied before, and we can do it again. Keep it.
I want to shut the front door. I want to see what his thermostat look like. He needs to go live. He don't mind going and putting videos out. Put a video out of your thermostat being at 78 in your multi-million dollar mansion. These people are crazy. Can you believe that he had the audacity to get out there and try to tell Californians to curb their energy uses because it's putting too much demand on the grid? Yet they're saying that everybody needs to have electric cars. I want y'all to consider this. There is a tremendous amount of people in California that do not have electric vehicles. You're talking about a heat wave is putting a demand on the grid. Imagine if everybody had an electric car and it was hot and everybody's losing power. They already got rolling blackouts in California. You can't like such a beautiful state. And these Democrats are running it through the ground. I don't understand how they can still be in power with such mismanagement. A lot of the fires that happen in California is because they won't manage the forest. They won't manage, clean up debris, clean up brush, and the stuff get fired and it's just burning people's houses down. Homeless people. In Canoga Park, my wife lived out there in Canoga Park. They got people in alleys, homeless, pitching tents. And then they catch the stuff on fire because they got appliances back there. Then they catch everybody's house on fire. And there's no liability. They don't even care. They let these people just live in the alley. They're out there doing drugs and sex and smoking. And they catching people's whole block on fire. California think there's nothing wrong with that. It's just crazy to me at how they turn in that state into what I think is overall is going to be inhabitable. Yeah, people with money in Newport Beach, people got money in Orange County. But what about the people in the regular parts of the city? They can't even afford to live there. The taxes are too high. Apartments, $2,000 a month for a one-bedroom. The average person, and then they paying, me and the wife was at the airport, and they had a sign for McDonald's, they paying minimum wage $16 an hour. $16 an hour won't get you crack in California. You ain't finna do nothing. You got to live with three other people in a two-bedroom. $16 an hour ain't going to do nothing for you. But this is the way they do in California. And I'm telling you what, they're living off of these millionaires. This is my thought. They live off of these millionaires and billionaires who live in California. Because if you got money, and maybe we were looking at them houses, and I went on Zillow. I said, oh, my God. Every house around here is $20 million. Who is making money? All these people, that's that much money out there being made? Now, if you got enough to spend $20 million on a house, the taxes, gas, it's inconsequential to your bank account. So you'll get a house right there on the water and up in the mountains and all that other stuff, and your property taxes are millions of dollars. You don't care. You got a tremendous amount of money, and you get a good weather year-round. But the little man, they struggling. And if the rich people were to move out of California, I don't think it could be sustainable. They cannot sustain. What about the people who are homeless? What about the refugees? I call them illegal aliens that come into the state. Because it is a sanctuary state, by the way. All the homeless. When I go to L.A., I was disgusted at California. I said, I can never live here. When me and my wife got together, he said, we're going to live in Arizona. I said, I can't live in California, babe. I can't live in California. The roads are bad. The houses are right on the road. Literally, if somebody was a drive on the sidewalk, they'll fall into your living room. You're literally pulling off your house into the street where people are drag racing at. It is no way to raise a kid. And that's not every house, but it's just, other than that, the freeways are packed. There's traffic everywhere, homeless people everywhere. I went to an event in California. We driving down the streets, homeless people. Dude got a whole, he got a whole rig set up with everything you could think that he stole from Home Depot. The dude got drills, chainsaws, everything hooked up on a wall. You know he stole all that stuff. Brand new drill bits. Whole shebang. Probably $25 a set. Just on the side of the road, pimping the public with stolen merchandise. They going to Rodeo Drive, which is probably one of the richest places in California. Rodeo Drive, they doing smash and grabs. They smashing and grabbing all over California. It's just sad that it has come to this point. Let me talk about some more news. There's a New York Times report that Joe Biden's administration had admitted 1 million migrants with an average of 7-year wait for a judge to hear their case. This is how they are manipulating the system of immigration. They're getting a lot of people in here, and what they call it, I don't know if it's necessarily catch and release, but when these people get over here, instead of them just sending them back, they go, well, let's try your case and see if you legitimately cross the border illegally or not. We know they are. We see them across the border. They have no business being over here, but we're going to take them to court. And they got 7 years before they have to show up to a hearing. And we don't make them go back for the 7 years. They get to live in America for 7 years. Now, how many people do you think going to show up to court 7 years later? People that live here don't go to court, won't show up for 7 years later. Imagine people who are migrants, who are coming over here for a better life. They were going to take their chances that they'll never get caught. And in California, where it's a sanctuary state, if they do, or somebody find out that they're illegal, nothing will be done. ICE cannot enforce the law in the state of California. Let me go to some of these statistics. I wish I'd have read this before. Asylum seekers have started moving into the Comfort Inn and SACO funded through the state to house up to 300 migrants for a year with support from the Catholic Charities. About 40 students will start school in the coming weeks, a fact that drew concern at the recent school board meeting given the additional cost to the district. And I believe this happened in Oregon. And Portland Public Schools have almost 50,000 students. So 40 students or 400 won't create a huge disruption is what they claim. But still, these are more and more students that they have to pay for that are not in the budget. And this is tax money that ain't coming in. It's like everybody at the job want to throw a pizza party and one person pay for all the pizza and nobody else put in, but they eat all the pizza. That don't make sense. It don't make sense. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
Cup of coffee cost a nickel. Newspaper sold for a dime. A dollar bought a pack of smoke.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. I'm afraid to tell it like it is.
We go back. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. When the blue. All right, let's get back to the news. There's so many articles, the way that they're doing immigration is very dangerous to our society. That is very alarming. They're just letting people come into our country. You know, it's not about whether you hate people or what. This is a lie from the pit of hell to even try to make that example. What it is that we need to have structure. You can't just have people just coming into our country. And the funny thing is that, to be honest, immigration right now is prejudice. It's prejudice. If you live in the southern border, it's okay for you to just walk in our country. But if you're in Africa or any of these other places that need refuge as well, you're seeking asylum as well, because you can't just cheat and come in our country, you can't somehow have access to asylum. You can't have access to a better life. That's the problem. That's the lack of fairness. And if you decide to say, hey, I want a better life. I'm just going to migrate there and try to get some papers to work or whatever. You'll wait 2-3 years and pay $20,000 to get over here. But if you just so happen to come through the southern border, you can get right into our country. Also, I think it's invaluable to promote the idea, or at least to explain the idea, that it's even worse than what you think, because there's terrorists that have been caught on the southern border. I mean, tons of them. People on the terrorist watch list. Now, you think to yourself, if they've caught that many people, and we know there's over 800,000 people, I had the gentleman on the other day talking about it, over 800,000 people that have crossed the border that they can see cross the border, but they couldn't make contact with them. They didn't have enough resources. Over 800,000 people plus. At this point, it's probably a million. They've caught a couple hundred. Out of the million that they didn't catch, how many of those people are on the terrorist watch list? How many of those people are going to orchestrate a terrorist attack, false flag, or potentially be a part of what we call a false flag? How many of them? You know, and the funny thing is, this is easily fixable. You don't just have to build a wall. Building a wall is not only creating a physical barrier, but it's giving a message that we're not tolerating it anymore. Coming out on television saying we're not going to build a wall, it's racist. It's telling people that, oh, they don't have an effort. They're not going to make an effort to stop us. We need to just go. And if we hold these people off on the border, you're talking about resources that could be allocated to American citizens that are being drawn up by these people that are just flooding our country. Think about 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 4 million more people than we should have. People that are not even on the books. They're not paying no taxes. They're not on the books. But yet, when they go to the hospital, we have to be responsible for those people. When COVID-19 hit and people get sick, they in the hospital taking up beds. Food stamp come out, they in the food stamp line getting food stamps. When there's low-skill work to be done, they already got it work. They already working. And they don't care about working for what you working for, because you an American citizen, you have rights. They don't care nothing about that. They'll take all your jobs. And they do. And there's Americans that are sitting on a street right now, begging for opportunities, and they're getting trampled by people that they let illegally come into this country. And to be honest, who is it affecting? It ain't affecting the rich people. They love cheap labor. They would want nothing to do with dealing with your sorry self making a HR claim. They'd rather have somebody there that they can work long hours and they won't complain. Because they probably can't speak English. The second, because they don't want to get deported. So people that got a lot of money that, you know, may not have as much integrity, they don't care. It's affecting people that are at lower middle class. They're coming for your stuff. They're affecting your pay. They're affecting your opportunities, your entry-level jobs. Don't believe me, then that's on you. But I got callers calling in. I think the phone lines are working again. Let me bring a caller in from Las Vegas, Nevada. Ron from Las Vegas, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hello, officer. Thank you for your service. I used to be a longtime resident of Orange County, California, and graduated high school, 74, beautiful place. And I left in 2015 because it got so bad. You know, we used to call it the Orange Curtain. You were talking about how nice it is in Newport Beach. We used to call it the Orange Curtain. They're right on the 605 freeway between Orange County and Los Angeles. But we got invaded because the Democrats destroyed Los Angeles and then saw how beautiful it was in Orange County, a Republican-run county, and they've been destroying Orange County.
Wow. Wow. When you say they're destroying Orange County, give me an example of some of the things that you believe that they've done to destroy Orange County?
That's a very good question. It's bringing in a lot of the policies so that we no longer, like, we built these roads. Like, if you come south on the 5 freeway, right when you hit cross the 91 going into Orange County, you would see a complete change of, like, beat up roads and everything in Los Angeles and then these beautiful roads in Orange County. So you start seeing these now, you know, potholes starting to show up on the roads and on main roads in Orange County, and you start to see, like, things getting run down and parkways that were beautiful and built with master plan communities, and these are and these are going, you know, by they're not, there's no more maintenance on anything because there's no more money to cover anything because all these, they brought all these social programs down into Orange County, and that's eating up all the money.
Wow, wow. Ron, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate the insight. Yeah, I thought that place was incredibly beautiful, but I know that the Democrats just got to put their foot in everything and mess it up. I mean, I don't even know why Gavin Newsom's even talking about Ron DeSantis in Florida. For him to be over there trying to clown on DeSantis, you must be smoking crack. The economy in Florida is doing very well. And to be honest, if they had a DeSantis in California, oh man, our country, there'll be so many people that move into California, all the states will be drained. But, you know, leave it up to these Democrats. They'll just sit up and destroy everything that's good to push socialism and government control over your assets and everything else. Hold the phone. We'll talk more after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
We go way, way back.
Is the Officer Tatum Show. Unafraid to tell it like it is.
Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. We have too much fun in the break. But I want to finish with the immigration thing. Like, we got to take a hard stance, right? That's like if somebody breaking, just hypothetically speaking, just say a homeless man breaks in your house. And you say, oh, that's fine. Man, he really needs somewhere to stay. Then what's stopping the rest of the homeless people from coming in your house? But then when five homeless people come into your house, breaking in your house, now it's not okay. Why? Because it's going to overburden what you have available to give to homeless people. At some point, you got to say, hey, man, just follow the rules. If you knocked on my door, maybe we could have a conversation about what you need. I could probably give you some money and send you off to the hotel somewhere. I could show you where there's a shelter. But you just breaking my house, bruh. With my kids here, and then five or six of y'all coming here, I can't even feed the ones I got. And somehow we don't think immigration works like that. A million people come into our country? I mean, we gotta, man, bruh. And then, you know, like the gentleman was saying before, he was saying, if they, you know, about voting. Well, we see in New York City that they allow illegals to vote in local elections. I mean, listen, ladies and gentlemen. I want y'all to understand this. Take your emotions out of it. I only got a few more seconds to talk about this. Take your emotions out of it. America is not involved in caring about the immigrants. Illegal immigrants are legal. They don't care. This is what they would call an influx of a new voting class. They want new people to vote for the Democrat Party. This is their only concern because they don't care that fentanyl is coming over here. They don't care that the women are getting raped on the way over here. They don't care nothing about boosting financial support for the cartel. They don't give a flying flip. Y'all care. The government don't care. The reason they letting people over here is not because they really care about immigrants and they want them to have a better life. They want to influence a new voting class of people, get them dependent on the government, and they will gain more and more and more control. It's really that simple, ladies and gentlemen. Don't fall for the okey-doke. Don't fall for it. How much time I got? I got 1 minute left. And I thank you people who called in to give their commentary, but man, we need to draw a line in the sand and say enough is enough. These people are underground working. They're getting mistreated. They're getting raped. They're getting abused. Oh, y'all want to talk about sex trafficking and human trafficking? This is what's happening to illegal aliens when they come over this country. Why? They can't call the police. Why? Because they're going to get deported. We deal with that in Tucson, Arizona. People are afraid to call the police because they don't want to get deported. And they get molested. They get abused. Domestic violence. All of the above. And then they can't speak English. They're getting taken advantage of in this country. There's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it. We should focus on the right way and not focus on politics. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. Y'all hold the phone. I will talk to y'all tomorrow. Outside.
because my heart is true. She says, baby, everything is alright.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.